Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I had on my guest recently. He's one of the Suspendables. He is also a great patriot, a former FBI agent, actually still an FBI agent, but we'll get into that in a minute. He's one of the bravest whistleblowers that we have out there who keeps showing up and speaking up and talking about the weaponization of our government against we the people and against himself. I'm honored to welcome back Garrett O'Boyle. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Mel, thanks for having me back, especially so soon. But still, it's a lot of ground to cover. So I appreciate you giving me a platform to continue to speak, because that's the only way stories like mine get out there.
Yeah, I the reason I wanted you back so soon, honestly, is because they're being extraordinarily hard on you. And in my experience with what's going on, even with my own censorship and surveillance the last 3 years, if they are targeting you, they are scared of you. And if they are scared of you, then you have things people need to hear. So the more we get your voice out there, the better. First and foremost, for anyone that didn't see our last show, please go back and watch it. He goes very in depth about what happened to him and the gross injustice of what the FBI pulled off. But there have been some updates. So if you want to just catch up my audience a little bit about you, but we can go back to watch that. People probably remember, but I mean, the last few weeks I've seen some terrible behavior that's really shocking.
Right, for sure. The Reader's Digest version on me, born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. By the time I hit adulthood, graduated high school, went to college for a year, headed off to the Army where I was an infantryman, went to Iraq and Afghanistan for a year each, came back home, became a police officer. 4 years into that, I got my bachelor's degree from Marquette University in downtown Milwaukee. I graduated with honors there and then headed off to the FBI. And that's kind of what brings me here. So that was 2018. I started whistleblowing to Congress in 2021, thinking foolishly that it was protected, which it's allegedly supposed to be under our law. But I tried out for and was selected for an FBI SWAT team during that time. And then I tried out for and was selected for a new specialty unit that the FBI was creating in the Quantico region. Right. We packed up our stuff. The FBI took it and hauled it off to Virginia, where they ended up keeping it in storage for about 2 months after they suspended me, which that's a whole nother part of the story. But I show up on my first day to the new unit and I get suspended. Our fourth daughter, she was 2 weeks old at the time. The FBI basically rendered us homeless doing that. And we're now finding out that that was all part of their plot. It was all intentional. We're learning from another whistleblower. So with the last 2 weeks, what's happened is around that time when I got suspended. So I was suspended in September 26th of 2022. And then in October or November, I forget exactly when, but I end up getting a bill from the FBI for the transfer that they trapped me into accepting just so they could suspend me in a nefarious fashion.
Wow.
So I get this bill and I'm like, well, what the heck? They suspended me. By the time I got the day, you're going to love this, Mel. I don't remember if I told you last time, but the day they finally allowed me to go get my own stuff was November 4th of 2022. That's the very same day they told me, hey, we know you've been suspended for about 5-6 weeks now, but now we're also suspending your pay. So I think they did that on the same day to add insult to injury. I don't think I'll ever be convinced otherwise of that, especially the more we're finding out. But that's the day I found out we're almost done just loading my family's belongings. And I get an email from my attorney at the time and he says, hey, I'm shocked, but they took your pay too. The attorney I had at the time didn't think they were going to. Wow. I was like, I'm pretty sure they're going to, because at that time I had already known Kyle Serafin and Steve Friend and what had happened to them. And both of them obviously had their pay stripped as well.
Right.
And so, you know, fast forward back to today or last week or so, I get it. Oh, I guess this was in January of this year, because I appealed that bill, the bill that they said, hey, you owe us for this transfer, which is just crazy, isn't it? So they claim all the money that was spent to transfer me from Kansas to Virginia is taxable income. So they tallied up whatever it cost the government to pay the movers to come and pack our house, whatever it cost the government to pay the truck driver to come and help pack and load and then take
everything.
That's
not cheap. That's not cheap. Wow.
No, not cheap. Not cheap. So they say all that's taxable income. So you owe us for that. even though we did this on purpose to trap you. And this latest whistleblower said that it was to financially devastate them and leave them homeless in a new city, which is exactly what happened. Thankfully, we were able to come back to Milwaukee and stay with family and figure things out from there. But anyway, so yeah, I have to pay this bill. They say I appeal it because in the initial email or correspondence or whatever, there was like a blurb in there, like, if you think you were wrongfully billed this, and it listed a couple of the statutes. And I read the statutes and I was like, you know what? I think I fit this statutory definition. And so I respond and I say, hey, I want to contest this bill. Eventually somebody responds back and says, okay, we're going to look into it. Don't pay the bill. And we'll be back in touch. Well, it took them over a year to respond back. And so now we're talking January of this year.
God.
I get an email again that says, hey, and they had a very long explanation, but basically they were saying, hey, screw you, dude. We know we've done that to you already, but we're going to do it some more. But wow. they say, no, you actually do owe us this bill, and here's why. And they try to lay it out. It's a bunch of nonsense. But again, too, why did it take them 14, 15 months to even, you know, accept or deny my appeal? But they say, you got to pay this bill. If you don't pay it within 120 days, then you're going to have to actually pay more. You're going to incur a 30% additional fee on the bill. And so I talked to my attorneys and I'm like, hey, I got this bill come and due. And I explained it to them. And they're like, you know, the point we're at right now, there's not really anything we can do, you know, maybe someday, but probably best for you to just pay it. But now let's remember, here I am unpaid for, man, I don't know, over a year now. And they also stripped our healthcare benefits, which initially we didn't even know we still had healthcare. And then also that was in February, we got that letter that said, hey, by the way, we're taking your health insurance. And then that letter was backdated, which I'd imagine is some type of violation of rule or policy.
Right.
And so then we're scrambling to find like private insurance, which also isn't cheap. Meanwhile, I'm getting paid $0 every 2 weeks because I'm technically still an FBI employee. Go ahead.
I mean, first of all, I want people to know you were one of the whistleblowers for the weaponization of the, first of all, the weaponization is off the charts and we'll get into that. It's not just you. It's a entire system that was created over a very long time that went on steroids and you went forward. What was the initial whistleblowing? And again, people that do that believe that they're helping keep their oath, that they're doing it for the Constitution, that something is wrong, that the American people are being wrong, that the institution is going rogue and they want to reel it back in. So just tell people, because everyone's watching it now. I mean, it's the cat's out of the bag. The FBI is totally rogue and actually going after American citizens. Not that they weren't always, if you know the history, but now they really are, and they're not even hiding it. So just tell what you actually were the whistleblower on.
Yeah, for sure. And that's another aspect actually that I dug into a lot more after I got suspended was the history. And I was like, man, I too have been duped my whole life. Like here I am, you know, when I was in the military and then a cop, I'm thinking, oh, the FBI is the pinnacle. And little did I know that they've been rogue and corrupt ever since their inception. But anyways, so some of the main whistleblower activity or protected disclosures that I can discuss because they're open now, both of them revolve around what the FBI calls a threat tag. And there are other things I made protected disclosures on too.
Right.
And even some others I can discuss, but the two of the primary ones, and they're fresh in my mind because I think they're so relevant. And one of them is because I was recently watching some of the clips of my testimony and Congressman Jim Jordan brought this one up. It was a threat tag called, what's the threat tag? Well, it was basically the threat tag for the school boards for basically to label parents as domestic terrorists. And in that threat tag, the FBI claimed up and down, oh, well, we're not doing that. And the Department of Justice claimed, well, we're not doing that. Well, then it came out in October of 21 that they were, because a different whistleblower sent out an email and it was right in there. Both the counterterrorism division of the FBI and the criminal division of the FBI were signatories on this email that said, here's the threat tag. It's to target parents who are going to school board meetings.
Right.
And so right then I was like, that's wrong. And now fast forward probably over a year So from October to now we're into 2022, probably like in winter or spring. And I'm a domestic terrorism agent at the time. So I have the requisite position to be working domestic terrorism cases. And I come across the threat tag because of the other threat tag, actually, that I'm going to get into. But I'm like, oh, yeah, there was that that school board threat tag. And so I look into that and I'm like, oh, the FBI is actually doing cases on this. So I make a protected disclosure about that. And Congressman Jordan, when I testified, said that's why he believes they've come at me so hard, is because I literally provided the receipts to show, yeah, hey, the FBI has been lying about this for over a year now.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even though I don't know for sure, but I would bet you, I would bet my non-existent paycheck that they are still targeting parents who are going to school board meetings.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other threat tag was called Threats to SCOTUS 2022. And this came into my purview because my supervisor at the time actually comes out of his office and he's addressing my entire squad. And he says, yeah, I just got this information about this latest threat tag, because believe it or not, at the squad level, we had already discussed the previous threat tag about the school board parents. And at that time, my boss came out and said, we're not doing that in this office, because he knew it was wrong, but he didn't have the requisite courage to say, you know what, this is wrong. I'm gonna make my own protective disclosures about it. So he's still collecting his salary, getting close to his retirement himself. But then this other threat tag comes out, Threats to SCOTUS 2022. I'm one of the few FBI agents in the FBI at the time who had what we would consider a pro-life confidential human source. And so me and the other small contingent of special agents in the FBI who had a source who fit that designation, we all got tasked from headquarters to go and ask our CHSs a bunch of questions about the Dobbs decision being leaked. So for those who aren't familiar, the Dobbs decision is what overturned Roe versus Wade.
Oh, wow.
And actually it did overturn.
Didn't overturn it. I know. Yeah. It's such a lie. It put it back to the states where it belongs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. So at that time in the summer, we have people protesting in the streets in front of Supreme Court justices' homes, which, by the way, is a federal crime. Right. But the FBI didn't investigate that. The U.S. Marshals investigated one instance of that because somebody traveled, I believe, from California all the way to the Washington, D.C. area to try to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh. So that's the one. But none of the people who were trying to influence the Supreme Court justices' decisions, none of them in front of their homes threatening them, none of them were investigated, to my knowledge.
Right.
But so I get this threat tag, and then I get all these questions from my CHS that were basically saying, hey, how do we twist this threat tag to target pro-lifers? And I'm reading through these questions, and all of them were like, hey, we know in the wake of the Dobbs decision. And then it's like, what are pro-life people doing? And it's like, well, pro-life people are cheering this decision. And so I had a list of questions to ask my CHS. I have this threat tag, and I'm like, this is backwards. This is way on its head. This is turning good for evil and evil for good. And this is wrong. So one, as an FBI agent who, remember now, we made an oath to the Constitution,
right,
to protect and defend it from enemies, both foreign and domestic, something I did when I swore in as an FBI agent, when I swore in as a police officer, and twice in the military, once when I first enlisted and then when I reenlisted.
Right.
And so I take that oath very seriously. And I think, well, when there are nefarious actors in FBI headquarters or whoever's putting all of these threat tags and questions together, well, that's wrong. And that's a threat to our democracy.
Yeah.
And so I say, okay, this is wrong. One, from a legal perspective, I believe it's wrong.
Two,
from just a law enforcement special agent in the FBI perspective, I'm like, this is wrong. We are not up against the guardrails here. We're over them.
Right.
And somebody needs to know.
Yeah.
And my boss was the one who alerted me to that. And so that's one of the ones I took forward as well. And those are probably the two primary ones that I can think of right now that are like fresh in my head as to, in large part, what has led to where I am today.
Yeah, it's completely incredible. And thank God it has, because all of us have seen, there's a whole other side. They're completely corrupt to the core. I believe the full government is totally captured at this point by a public-private partnership I could say, of a globalist billionaire oligarchy crew that are clearly running everything. They are, and I believe that the intel agencies are working more to keep them in power than anyone else. Because if you really look at what's happened, I actually look back when I think of all of this. Now, I do, as you know, know not just the history of Hoover and the FBI and really what it was established to do, but the Dulles brothers even worse. So our entire intel infrastructure from day one was corrupt to the core, was about maintaining control for, again, still an oligarchy at the time, Rockefeller and his friends that fed people. But the truth of the matter is that now we are in a place where we are in a post Patriot Act world that I feel like is getting more and more dangerous. To me, the Patriot Act is totally unconstitutional. They convinced us of something. First of all, it was written before, as my audience knows, I've talked about, but under the guise of security and safety and a terrorist threat, they convinced us into something that actually created what it looks like to me is a fourth branch of government that has no oversight, no checks and balances, no one watching them. The FBI obviously has merged into that world, but that's DHS, TSA, DNI. Then you had the Department of Justice created under Obama and Holder right after that. On top of that, the National Security Division, which is then the persecution prosecution arm of this. But it does appear that we have a totally rogue, literally no oversight, no, like you doing what you did is as much as you can pierce this bubble as possible. It looks like they've purged all the patriots, all the veterans, all the cops, all the people that went in there for the right reasons. And, you know, every day all of us see these all over Twitter and Facebook ads recruiting for FBI that are for LGBTQ+, that are for, you know, different for women, for people of color. You know, it's very clear that they're hiring people to be kind of a fringe minority, but giving them this power to, you know, go after the oppressors. What can we do at this point? Because I really, Garrett, I don't think anyone right now in America has privacy or honestly freedom and liberty as we believe we do, because, you know, they're talking about the 702 surveillance, warrantless surveillance coming up, and don't let this. And of course, it's Sullivan and Ray and everyone that we must keep the warrantless surveillance. Frankly, I think they're surveilling everyone like Snowden told us with the NSA anyway, without warrants, and that all people have to do is give a suggestion, and you can tell me after if this is true. It looks like in that blob that is the intelligence community, fourth branch of government, that I think is probably spying on all the other three branches too, all they have to do is have a suggestion that somebody's a national security risk or a domestic terrorist or a domestic threat, and that person's put under surveillance. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that is what's going on. And it's interesting you bring that up. I just saw a tweet from the Libertarian Party about how the FBI contacted them and said, hey, we think you're being influenced by foreigners, but then they're not going to release any other information. And I actually think that something like that is the mechanism they use to justify using 702. And so 702 is coming up for renewal April 19th. It basically was included in the last kick the can down the road budget agreement where they, I think like in December, where they said, yeah, we're going to keep funding it and we'll readdress this in April. And it cannot be funded. It needs to go away. You talked about the Patriot Act. I think back to how foolish I used to be, man. 9/11, and then they come out with this thing called the Patriot Act. Well, who wouldn't be for the Patriot Act? Exactly. You have to be a patriot. Otherwise, if you're not a patriot, then you're going to be against it. And I think it was one person in all of government who voted against it. And it's like, well, now I've grown and learned a little bit. They tried it again with COVID, and they succeeded in a lot of ways with COVID. Because it's all about your safety, right? It's all about your safety. We're here to take care of you. Right. And so they drum up these things, but 702 is actually one of the worst pieces of the tool belt that the FBI could be allowed to have. And you see this headline all over the place. It's like, you know, 248,000 times the FBI abused.
No.
It's far more.
You correct it. Thank God. Yeah. Millions. And I saw that over 10,000 agents violated the usage of it over since 2021.
Right. It's completely off the rails. And then you get somebody like wetsuit Chris Ray up there saying, we need it. We absolutely need it to keep you safe to prevent another 9/11. Well, you didn't prevent the first one without it.
And the truth is that they're not going after terror. Like, you know, I remember, I think it was Ron Paul who voted against it, but Ron Paul said, so they decided that we're having a war on a tactic. They didn't define the terrorists in the Patriot Act. And quite frankly, I know that they were trying to push something like that, including Joe Biden, but Chertoff and all the PNAC guys about surveillance within in America. And then it wasn't until after the Patriot Act and then Holder and Obama kicking in, the DOJ having their national security division in tandem with the FBI, that we started hearing about white supremacy and domestic terrorists and all of this. Like, this has been a slow, you know, frog in the pot boiling situation. But I'm very concerned because I don't think any American citizen right now has any privacy, because Garrett, isn't this also about capturing all of our data that they aren't entitled to? I mean, because to me, what I saw is also the FBI and DHS seem to be working one in the same. And then you have the NSA, but they all have contracts with Google and Alphabet.
And Amazon,
and
right.
Amazon, yes. And right. Meta. And so that's a data. So they're watching there must be people watching everyone's data too, right?
Right. And if they aren't, like, you know, watching every single person's data, they certainly can go.
If something pops up,
you know, like, they can get it if they need to or want to. And then when you have these alliances, we saw a lot of this, especially with the Twitter files.
Right.
You have these alliances with FBI basically embedded with people at Twitter, and it's everywhere else. It's everywhere else. It's at YouTube, Alphabet. It's at Facebook. It's at or Meta. It's at it's at Amazon, you know, like AWS, government,
Microsoft, Apple.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Government gets, or these companies get big contracts with government. And then oftentimes what you will see is you will see people in government, they retire, so they get their pension, and then they transition over to one of these, you know, private sector jobs, like right at Google or Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And it's like, that's all intentional. It's, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, and let's all work together on this. And like you mentioned earlier, it's this fourth branch of government in large part. Yes, Patriot Act is a huge part of it. And I would imagine you agree that it goes back even further. It's this. Oh, yeah. It's been this slow boil for a long time. And even people like me really just starting to realize, like, oh, this is way worse than it seems. Like, when you think of all of the different coup attempts and successful attempts that the CIA has orchestrated over decades and decades and decades, going back to like the 40s and 50s even.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Iran is a big one that I think of. The world landscape could be very different if we, the quote unquote good guys, never engage in a coup like that. Or actually, how about this? Because it's a little more relevant. The American-backed coup in Ukraine in 2014.
I know.
And so many people are like, wait, what are you talking about?
And then the FBI is the ones that are working in cahoots with big tech to silence anyone telling the truth about 2014 Ukraine.
That's
so, like, is that their job either? I recently saw the FBI put up a post that they, I guess, congratulating themselves on something they did in, like, the Philippines. And I'm thinking, what are you doing in the Philippines when we have rampant, and they're lying about the numbers of crime, but we have rampant crime in America. I don't even know why they get involved in these foreign, the FBI is getting involved in foreign investigations, but I feel like I'm seeing that more and more. What is so crazy to me?
Yeah, it is crazy. It's insane. It's mission creep, really, because I don't know when this happened, but at some point, I'm sure decades ago, the FBI established outposts in many countries. And there's essentially an outpost that covers every country at this point. Right. And so an FBI agent or two, they're called a LEAGAT. It stands for legal attaché, and then assistant LEAGAT is, you know, whatever. And they're, you know, I'm pretty sure they like work out of like the embassy or whatever. And then if there's something regarding like a U.S. citizen in that country, then they may get involved. But what we see now is far more like, you see Director Ray going to like the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, what is he doing? He's all over the world all the time. Hi guys, thank you for watching the show. You know I'm always telling you to be prepared and expect the unexpected. Well, the Wellness Company has great medical emergency kits to make sure you can do just that. In a world where supply chain vulnerabilities threaten our access to life-saving medication, I highly recommend you get a Wellness Company medical emergency kit. With 8 essential medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin, you can be prepared for any medical emergency that comes your way. They have a medical emergency kit, a contagion kit, a emergency travel kit, and a first aid emergency kit. To support your own health and support the Mel Kay Show, please go to twc.health/MelKay now and use code MelKay for big savings at checkout. Don't wait until it's too late. Take back control of your health today with the Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit. Because when it comes to your family's well-being, preparedness is key. The Wellness Company, empowering you to face the unexpected with confidence. This I know, is what scares me the most, though, about the surveillance stuff, because I covered, nobody really does. And I'm telling you, I truly believe that what we're facing is that Barack Obama, and I believe both Bushes, Obama, Clinton, Biden, they're all globalists. They're all for themselves. They're all very focused on this kind of Pan Am and Hunger Games kind of world where they are in Pan Am is how I see them. But so he signed on to Agenda 2030. Biden just re-upped it, you know, but a big part of Agenda 2030, people have to understand, and this is the UN, the World Economic Forum, NATO, they're all in on this, even the Vatican. So Obama signs on, Biden's saying he's going to make it on time or halfway to it. A big part of that is full global track and trace surveillance of every person on planet Earth. I mean, this is Internet of Body, Internet of Things. Full technocracy. It's on their website. It's on the UN website. It's on the World Economic Forum website. And the scariest thing is it's actually being run, in my opinion, by the bankers above them, the Bank of International Settlements, IMF, World Bank. And it's a real consolidation, which isn't a conspiracy theory, but the scariest part to me is the consolidation of our privacy and our data. Because, you know, you just brought up that thing with the Libertarian Post, which is scary to me. But then when I was looking into this, I saw that the Five Eyes nations have an agreement with the FBI and the CIA, and I think the NSA, to share information like in some kind of portal that they can all tap into if you have, because I guess the Senate Armed Services Committee or the Senate Intelligence Committee and the FBI, they decide clearance and whatever. And so, but they have these arrangements with these Five Eyes nations, of course, all the same nations that were behind, you know, all in on Build Back Better and COVID. And that they can. So basically what I was reading is that if they can't constitutionally or legally spy on an American citizen, they're going to ask their counterpart in one of the Five Eyes nations to do it. I mean, that's what it seemed like. Like that's what it's for.
Right. I'm pretty sure you're right that that is what it's for. And man, I don't remember the details off my head. I want to say I saw a story about that type of thing already happening where there was like information, CIA, Five Eyes leaked here. Then it was like, oh, FBI, hey, open a case. And it's like, well, wait a second. That's not supposed to happen that way. No. And it's like, well, of course it's going to happen that way. The FBI gets inserted into the intelligence community after 9/11.
Yeah.
There's always been this ongoing feud between CIA and FBI. And now it's a gamesmanship and showmanship and incompetence and intentional nefarious actors in our own government who don't actually want you to be free. They don't actually want us to speak freely and openly. They don't want us to be able to do our own research or ask questions. And then when you do, they'll silence you on the internet, which they say, oh, well, no, Twitter or whoever is doing that on their own.
No.
But when it's prompted by the government, that's a First Amendment violation. And but they're all for it because they just want you to do what they tell you to do because they don't actually care about freedom. They don't actually care about liberty. And it's really interesting and kind of disappointing and sad, but I guess it's the fallen nature of man is all throughout history, it's been this way. Tyrants rise to power and then they seize the power. And, you know, I think I didn't talk about my faith a ton last time, but there's a story early on in Genesis after the flood, a guy named Nimrod. He is a couple generations descendant of Noah. He's like the first tyrant that we can point back to.
Right.
And it's been that way forever. Like tyrants always rise to power. like in recent history, like I think of the Polish Revolution or the Romanian Revolution, eventually people have had enough and they rise up and they say, this is wrong. We want freedom. I'm sick of being afraid. I'm sick of being silenced. I really do believe we're in some of the earlier stages of that type too. Of, yeah. I mean, that's where we are as a nation in America, the alleged land of the free.
I know.
Where if you speak out against the government, you get removed from the government and, you know, pinned to the wall like we have. Or like, if you speak
like
out.
Like you have, and you're still speaking up, and that says a lot. And you created a team of people that are around you, not just Kyle and Steve are friends of the show, but now we have like journalists, somebody that does what I do, Steve Baker. Right. We have Aaron Stevenson from DHS. You know, we have a lot of people that are seeing this and saying this and giving other people the ability to do that, but people are afraid of them. After watching all the videos I've had on like 16 people associated, either a victim of January 6th persecution or a lawyer or sometimes a wife or a girlfriend, and the kicking in the doors in the middle of the night, the leg irons, my friend Peter Navarro is in jail right now for not wanting to violate confidentiality from when he was the advisor to the president with a fake January 6th committee. I mean, we're watching what happened today with that. You know, this is evolving. And like you said about Nimrod and for history, they always need their Stasi. They always need their, you know, secret police. They always need this. And unfortunately, what is becoming incredibly obvious is that they have purged the good people like you and Steve and Kyle, and that they have replaced them with these woke order followers who are probably very low IQ, easily manipulated. You know, they're shaking the carrot with the stick situation. I mean, look at what they're recruiting. I mean, they're showing us it's so embarrassing for our country, but let alone to think that these people get to put on body armor and use tactics right. of the military to kick people's doors in now for memes. I mean, we're seeing it more and more, and that these people are willing to do that. So what is the, what are some solutions here, not just for the people, but if you had your say, obviously, Jim Jordan, I know you're doing a big thing with Sebastian Gorka also coming up, a kind of summit on the weaponization of the government. The left laughs at us because they're running it. But you know what? A libertarian is not on the left. OK, mm-hmm. and they kicked in or they knocked on a door for a Facebook post of somebody this week who was pro-Palestinian. Right. I've said to everyone all along, this is not left and right. It's not Republican, Democrat. It is about compliance with the state. And if you and remember, you said that you were you. So one more thing before we go to your solutions, were you around when the FBI announced or put in this new anti-government, anti-authority group that they've talked about that was.
Yep.
So can you just tell people about that? Because some people don't believe that that happened. And then they wrote, obviously, Newsweek is fed yeah. the story, but they write a story on it. And it's really a threat to anyone that supports MAGA or basically the Constitution.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. And me and Kyle and Steve have talked about that Newsweek article behind the scenes. And we're all convinced that that was intentionally leaked to Newsweek yeah. to get this piece out there as essentially like a better watch it. You better watch your speech. Yeah. You better watch who you support. And that's a totalitarian regime. That's what they do. And so that's very dangerous and scary. And yes, the agave, as we call it, it's anti-authority, anti-government, violent extremism. So allegedly in the FBI, it can come from left or right. It's not solely towards one group of people. But
right.
if you look at the history, just the recent history of who they go after, it's very clear that it's targeted towards one side and not yeah. the other. And right. but not always, because you mentioned this incident from the pro-Palestinian woman. So yeah. I'm actually still in a group of people who are in the FBI. And one of them posted about that in this group today. And I was, this person isn't an agent, so I'll give them a little bit more leeway.
Right.
But also what you have in the FBI, and you mentioned it with the type of people they're hiring, they just do what they're told right. by and large. But what you have is people who do not understand the First Amendment. So this woman who posted, she like is associated with CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. She's allowed to be. That's right. She's right. allowed to be. And even the things she posted, you and I may not like them. We may not agree with right. them, but that doesn't mean it's illegal. And one of the examples I keep using is because I wear this bracelet on my wrist for a friend of mine who was killed. He was killed in Afghanistan, Mel.
Right.
And I still hold this position. He was sent home in one of those tightly packed wooden boxes. That's one of her posts said, I want all U.S. soldiers to be shipped home in tightly packed wooden boxes. Well, he was. And I know other people who were, too.
Yeah.
Just because I don't like your speech doesn't mean it's illegal. And I will still do everything I can to protect your speech, because that's all it is speech. If we don't have speech, we have nothing. That's why the founders made the First Amendment, is because they realized how important it was. And when people get all super emotional about, well, I don't like what they said. Okay, just look back over the last couple of years at how many times the other side has said, I don't like what you say.
Right.
That doesn't
FBI showing up at your house is terrifying. It's terrifying. That's a terrorist tactic. That to me is so over the line. It is so scary. I think about it, it's going to happen to me every single day, but you know what? I don't care if it does, I can handle it. But what I'm saying is, for a person like that, cause I saw that video, and that's not the only video. There's been a bunch of them lately, right. You know, and it's predominantly the FBI, and then Chris Wray lies about it. And again, I don't know when it, maybe always, because I think two of the most horrible, evil people that ever had a power in this country are the Dulles brothers, who were the original, you know, created the CIA in tandem. And you brought up before the strange relationship with between the FBI and the CIA. One's supposed to be interfacing, one's outer facing. But if you recall, that all did change also during Crossfire Hurricane, because Peter Strzok had one foot in the FBI and one foot in the CIA and was coordinating between the two. So that a lot of these norms changed around the time right after you became. And so the FBI was tainted by the time you got in there very open scale. I mean, I've done deep dives into Crossfire Hurricane and everything that happened in that 4 years. All those people put themselves back in power after helping to fortify the election. But it is terrifying, and it is a terror tactic. It's very Stasi. It's very, if you study, which I know you know and my audience does, but if you study any of the revolutions, be it Mao's revolution, Bolshevik, or Nazis, you're going to find that they have this secret police that show up at doors for people that say the wrong things. And it's a very slippery slope. And then with the digital technology relationships with the platforms, and then their digital relationship with trading data on citizens to foreign countries. Now I hear they have one with the EU too. So all these things, you know, that TikTok bill came out, and I'm like, yeah, well, first and foremost, can you stop our agencies and our, you know, Alphabet and Meta from our data? You know, I keep saying to people, listen, if you agreed to give other than your, you know, your license, your birth certificate, and your social security card to the government, if you agreed to give them all of your data, that's yours. I didn't, you know, and at this point, there's no stopping that. So back to you on what people should be doing, what we should be doing. Should we be reaching out to our senator? Like, what should we be doing? This has to stop, and it's going to be up to us, it appears.
It does have to stop, and it is up to us. And as far as politics and politicians, I really don't hold my breath. Like, the old me would say, absolutely, yes. Reach out to your politicians and help. You know, once they hear your voice, then they're going to vote that way. But that's not always the case. And a good example of that is just today. My buddy Steve Friend, he helped draft. Well, actually, he wrote the whole legislation. He drafted some legislation for the state of Tennessee to basically thwart a little bit what was going on with the FBI. Because as you may know, in the FBI, they work together with local and state partners. We bring up officers or deputies or patrolmen or whatever, and they get deputized into the FBI as task force officers. So they get a secret clearance. They get all this stuff. But think of that. If I'm a deputy for a local police department and now I'm working with the FBI and I have a secret clearance, my chief of police doesn't. Or if I work for the county, my sheriff doesn't have.
So there's no chain of command. It's total chaos. Order out of chaos, these people. Yeah.
Right. So Steve wrote this legislation. It sounded like they had the votes to pass. And the GOP in Tennessee balked, and they didn't even bring it to the table today. And so So honestly, like what we have to do is, well, actually, this is what I truly think needs to happen first. Things need to get far more difficult before we are going to right the ship. And I don't relish in saying that because I like flipping on the light switch and having the lights go on. I like turning the faucet and having potable water come out. I like being able to talk to you through the internet.
Yeah.
In a lot of countries, you didn't get the, you don't have those type of things. And I think in America, we have gotten so complacent where honestly, even a lot of people in my own life, they don't care what's going on.
Me too.
They don't care. They don't even care what's going on with me.
People don't even know why I bother. People say to me, why do you bother? What are you getting out of this? I say, what I'm getting out of this is I can't be quiet with what I know, what I see, what I think, what I really believe. I think the stakes that we face, this has nothing to do with Donald Trump or Joe Biden or left and right, Republican and Democrat. 2024, if they kick it and they into, if they kick it into four more years on their side, America, in my opinion, is done. This is a global governance model that they have been working towards for a long time. Their futures, their fortunes. And when I talk about that, I mean like people like Larry Fink and Jamie Dimon and the real people running this country. The real people that the FBI are working for, the real people that the fifth column lawfare people working for are the people that are invested in the global government, the global multinational corporation. They think they're stakeholders of planet Earth. And America is the problem right now because the rest of the world, if America goes onto the blockchain and we fall and order out of chaos and we beg them to just take our biometric data, take everything you want, we'll do what you say. You can censor us. You can shame us. You can rip up the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Then these people get the world.
Right. Yes. And so, you know, that actually right there makes me think back to Nimrod. Nimrod is who was building the Tower of Babel.
Exactly.
And saying, you don't have rights. We are gods. This is it. This is it right here. Our government, like many others, most in the world right now, think that they are God. Yep. They are a lowercase g God. And they think through their hubris and pride, because they've been blinded to the truth, they think that you must submit to them. That's not how it works. I only bend the knee to one God, the one true God.
Me too.
I only bend the knee to Christ. That is it.
Yeah.
And so people, you ask, well, what can we do? Well, one, we need to turn to Christ because that's where the truth is, the absolute truth. Two, we need to be bold. We need to stand firm. Is it difficult? Yes. I would rather not be doing this, Mel. I'd rather be an FBI agent.
I know. I think you'd rather be doing your job, protecting people from crime and violence and saving people from all of this stuff. And nobody's doing that either.
I know they're not. And that's the thing. Like, you know, when I testified in my opening statement, I said something to the effect of, I joined the FBI to go after bad guys, you know, much to my chagrin, a lot of them are running the government. And it's like, The more I see, the more I learn, the more it's like, oh man, it's everywhere. It's not just the FBI. Yeah. It's not just DHS. And, you know, maybe people are listening to this and thinking like, man, this doesn't sound very hopeful. Okay. Yeah. Maybe, maybe right now it isn't, but that doesn't mean we stop doing what is right. It doesn't mean we stop doing what is true, because you never know what is going to shift someone's thinking, what is going to help them jump on the train and be like, yeah, this is wrong. Because think, we have no idea how many people we've connected with, how many people we've influenced for them to be like, hey, what Mel's saying on a daily basis on her show, tweeting out, and Garrett and all her other guests, and Kyle and Steve and Steve Baker, and you know, all these people, maybe there is a chance, because there's actually a lot more people out there like me than I thought.
Yeah.
And they're speaking. So I'm going to speak, and I'm going to spread the word, and I'm going to spread the truth. Yeah. And I'm going to vote. Maybe it might take voting a little bit differently if you think voting still has an effect.
What I will say about voting, I'm glad you brought it up, because
I voted today, by the way, in a local election. I did. So
cool.
You know, I still did it.
Good. Right. Well, here's the thing. We do have to keep one foot in reality. And reality is, we do have a system in place right now that we need to change. But we can't change the system without, honestly, being a part of it for now, not forever. First of all, we were never supposed to have gods and goddesses in DC, let alone 85% of those agencies are unconstitutional and shouldn't exist at all. You know, all of that, the Roe versus Wade thing, That should be almost everything should go back to the states. And all of those states probably, if they wanted to, could balance their own state budget with their state taxes and not take $1 from that cesspool that then controls them. But at the same time, I think the other thing that you're saying that's really, really important here to understand, I think, and to get across is that not voting this time means a vote for Biden, because they have set up such an apparatus between the Zucker Indivisible and the 1630 Project. The same model as fortification last time, as Molly Ball called it. They have the civic action. They have all of the, you know, Arabella partner funded get out to vote. They have the entire that church community in Atlanta and the swing states. These people, by any means necessary, must keep power. And you and I both know, because there's a lot of criminals that committed sedition and treason in 2016, 2017, 2018. And believe me, they more than anyone do not want a Donald Trump back in office, let alone the globalist billionaires that are invested in a post-America world, financially invested in the end of America, in all of the global stuff. Is really financial, in my opinion, and a giant money laundering consolidation thing. But not voting. I know a lot of people don't want to vote. Okay. And I know a lot of people also are not. I know it seems that Donald Trump is still running as if his base is everyone. But what he really needs to do, in my opinion, I'll probably get attacked for saying so, but he's got to start thinking about the people not in his base that feel like they're losing their country. And if they don't vote at all, then the cheating apparatus that they have in place will work. If everyone votes and uses Trump, maybe, so he has 4 years, as a battering ram against this crazy intelligence community, you know, fourth branch of the government, or as a batter, as you know, as I say, sand in the gears of the globalist governance and the global billionaire oligarchy's plans for surveilling, track and trace, and our CBDC and all that. If we are using Trump, whether you like him or not, to put at least give us a chance to go in and rip some of this out and have you and Kyle and Steve and other people that you're around go in and make suggestions to the new people, like, this is what we should do. We at least need to try. And if we don't, if they get 4 more years of what this lunacy, I really fear that they will take it as a mandate that everything that they've done in the last 3.5 years, they can go on steroids if it's not bad enough. So, you know, last words too on voting, because I get it. And a lot of people we need to vote for Trump, either A, don't like him, B, don't vote, or C, think both don't like either candidate and aren't going to vote at all. And I think that we need to at least play along to get to the next group where we can actually make some change. Because if not, if they take 2024, whether it's, you know, it would have to be some kind of cheating apparatus at this point, or put in somebody else, I really fear for this country surviving at all. We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we certainly are on a precipice as a nation, and I think we have been really probably since COVID, and that we're tipping in one direction, the worst direction, I think, since then. And as for voting, like, most days I wake up and take the black pill re-voting because it's hard not to.
Yeah.
But then today, like, I knew we had local elections today, and I kind of thought it's like super rainy here. I've been really busy with stuff. I had our interview coming up, and I thought, is it worth it? And my wife said, we should probably go vote. Hey. And I'm like, yeah, because when we go vote, we all pile in the van, and we've got 4 little girls. And part of it is to show them, like,
yeah,
you don't always just do what you want. Would it have been easier to just stay home? Yeah. But we went and voted. and to, in part to show them like that this is what you do. Whether when we were talking about it on the way home, do we really think that our vote matters? No, our single vote does not. But when all the votes are compiled, they do. And whether we win or lose in these local elections or in the next presidential election, okay, I mean, so be it. And with the cheating, I mean, I'm just talking base level here. I'm not going to get into all the cheating and everything like that, which I do think is occurring. And it's another topic and part of the law that the FBI is refusing to investigate, or they did at least in 2020, when they're the investigatory agency over election crime. They refuse to investigate it. I know it is. But just because other people are doing the wrong thing doesn't mean that gives us a pass to do the wrong thing too. When we know like, it is kind of my civic duty and I do love America and I do want a better nation for my children. Okay, then I'm going to go vote. Even if it ends up being that they cheat and win that way.
Right.
Then we'll have to fight a different battle.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that will look like, you know, like maybe someday, like you said, these people who are in place right now, they are running scared because they are so worried about another Donald Trump presidency. And look, quite frankly, I didn't really ever care for Donald Trump. I didn't care for him the first time I voted third party. I actually think that that was a mistake. Now he ended up winning. And then obviously in 2020, well, maybe not obviously, I did vote for Trump because how could you not is the position I landed on then. And that's the position I'm landing on again now.
Right.
Like if he ends up being the nominee, which I think he will, I don't see how that, I think
no, he is the nominee, but we'll see what happens.
And I bring that up too, because in our local election today, for some reason, they still had the presidential preference category or whatever. And in Wisconsin, in my state, like they still had Vivek on, like all the Nikki.
Now, Wisconsin is a real problem.
It's a real problem. It's off the rails.
Secretary of State and your election board. But listen, but I'm glad you saw that, because now we know that anyone that's watching in Wisconsin, go get involved, find out what's going on with the ballots, because I mean, that's where we are. Everyone has to get involved. And like you said, you went and did this locally. Everyone should do it locally. And I hope this time, even if you did in the past, you don't just look at the R or D, because we have to be very honest. These people are all working for a corporation, a public-private partnership above the government. They don't work for us, I don't think at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And like in my state, things are way off the rails. We just had a journalist here get arrested yesterday. He's big into election integrity things.
Right.
And he got arrested last night or turned himself in. And it's like, dude, this is Stasi Gestapo type of antics, you know?
I mean, it is. There's no like it. This is.
Yeah, this is what they do.
But that's what, like you brought up Nimrod, but that's what totalitarians need, is a force that works for them, not for the people. Right. You know, it's against dissent. They everything is about compliance. And now that they have the technology and the data, apparatus and the warrantless surveillance that they're, you know, we have to keep the warrantless surveillance going. Well, you are keeping it going. This is just formalizing it.
Yes. Yeah. For your safety. I think of another very impactful author on my life was Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And he got arrested and sent to a legitimate gulag because he sent a letter and the government opened his letter. Yeah. Well, we have these and we have our computers and all of this. It's a far more dangerous time in that regard because of things like 702. They could literally just go query your name and they could find out all sorts of information. Or like we talked about too, the pro-Palestinian woman in Stillwater, Oklahoma, they just look at your Facebook and don't like what you have to say. But again, we have to stand firm on the truth. Part of that truth is our First Amendment.
Yep.
We have to stand for what is true and what is right in accordance with our American structure and system. Part of that includes voting. Part of that includes standing up against the government for your rights.
Yep.
So if somebody comes to your door, well, one, I would advise you, don't talk to the FBI. But if you're going to, do what that woman did and record them and ask them for their names and ask them questions and tell them, I will get in contact with you unless you're here to arrest me with a warrant or, you know, whatever.
Think about how many people don't understand the concept of you can remain silent. because right. they because these people, I mean, you can, you know it because you've done it, but these people sometimes are like, they try to be your friend. I know a lot of January 6th people, especially the women. My friend's writing a book about the women of January 6th. And it's like, they were just like, I'm so sorry. I was just there for right. this. And then yeah. they're taking like a genuine, like, I don't know what you're doing here. And then by the time they get to court, whatever they said to that FBI agent has been so manipulated to mean something else. It's really important what you're saying about, you know, don't talk to them. And if you do, record it, you know?
Yeah. And that's actually another really important part about recording it. It's not mandatory for an FBI agent to record their interview with you. So they might jot down a few notes. Maybe they don't even do that. And then they're going to go back and write their report, and then they're going to say whatever they're going to say. And honestly, as far as things go, whatever they write in their 302, which is basically their police report, that's going to be what the truth is, unless you have it recorded. And I hate to say that, but like you mentioned about me, Colin, Steve, and others who are getting purged from agencies like the FBI. And I think it's happening all across the government.
Oh, yeah.
For me, obviously, it's more stark with the FBI.
It's happening every, I mean, like, people have to understand every single agency has been purged. They give them all these like regular surveys. I'm sure they do it at the FBI.
They do.
What they're doing is then they're collecting their data and then they can set them up to find issues with the ones to get rid of them.
Yes. And so that is exactly right. That's an ongoing theory that we also operate under is that they're compiling this data and that's what they're using to oust people. Yeah. And so now the people who, I'll use my finger quotes, are still good, who are in the agency, they have been called into silence because I need my job.
And they lie on these regular surveys. And then they'll tell you, I talked to one person and I said, who works for the government, who had to take one of these surveys. It's every once in a while. It's through one of the DEI, which is a whole of government under Obama, really, Susan Rice and Biden. But and anyway, I said to her, I go, do you tell the truth? She goes, nah. I go, not never. She goes, not really.
Yeah, I just answer
the
questions.
And then she goes, it's none of their business. I go, so you lie? She goes, they say whatever they want. That's what you're talking about. These people have to stop doing it that are in there. You know, I mean, it's hard to see what happened to you, but you're alive. You know, Rob and I got really into, we watched like the Walking Dead from beginning to end during this, you know, so you watch it and I'm always like, we got to have a bug out bag, which we do now and all this stuff just in case. But, you know, there is a point to it too, where it's like, well, we're still alive. We're still here. Right. And I think that's the example of you is like, okay, it sucks and it's horrible and it's awful. But you know what? You're still alive and you're still talking and that matters.
Right. Yeah. I never imagined any of this. Honestly, when I went and testified, I thought like that was going to be it. I didn't think a lot of people would care or watch. And boy, has my life changed since then. But even before that, before I came more public, you know, I was suspended in September of 2022. I didn't testify until May of 2023. And in that interim time frame, my lawyers were saying, we don't want you going public yet. You know, like just wait, just trust us. And I'm glad I did. But all along the way, I've told my wife many times, we are different people now. Like, we will never be the same Garrett and Heidi that we were when we were living in Kansas. And we really look back fondly on our time there, but that's okay. Like, yes, you're never going to be able to.
Nobody's ever going to be the same as they were that woke up during this time. Nobody, whether you woke up about the COVID or the vaccine or the police state or the
surveillance
state,
that was part of it too.
Yep. Or any of this or the election. You're never going to be the same because the trust is so violated and the betrayal is so deep and it's so ugly. And again, we have to redefine our relationship with our government. They are not supposed to be like this. And I honestly, Garrett, I really do think like midsummer, they're actually pushing people closer together and people are just going to finally see, you know what, we're not, the divide and conquer is going to go the other direction. And people are going to be like, oh my God, it's not us, it's them. You know, and them is not a huge number of people. Them is a very small. And I honestly believe Wall Street and big tech have more power than any elected official anyway. I mean, I'm talking about the top guys. So Garrett, O'Boyle is a hero. Listen, I'm so excited because I think the more you get out there and talk, the more you're getting comfortable doing that. And I love that you guys have a band of brothers over there in the Suspendables.
For sure.
I really do. And I know how much Kyle and Steve really, really love you and get a lot of strength from you. I know you do from them as well, but it's good to see like true friendship out there that's real about, you know, people that actually stood up and are standing up for each other. And I really appreciate everything you're doing. Please tell my audience how they can help you. Remember, he is still technically an FBI agent, but he's not allowed to get a job anywhere else or do anything. He's just got to deal with the legal case. It's terrible. So however people can help you, however they can follow you, find you. I know you have a store with cool stuff that people can get. So let's really, really support Garrett. I really do hope, not only do I care that your case gets to court, but I'd like to get some of these people deposed.
Yeah, me too. I do too. Yeah.
So like that's that the most awesome. Important thing to me. So go ahead.
I do have it on good authority that the FBI might be a little worried about my case, me and Marcus Allen both. So, and then they should be. But yeah, you can follow me on pretty much anywhere, Twitter, Truth, Instagram, a couple other places too, at GOB Actual. So it's like my initials, GOB Actual. And then the merch store for the Suspendables, where you can also get shirts like this one, Last Line Strength, which is a whole story there. I'll spare you for now.
Cool.
Maybe next time. But that is the-suspendables.com, the-suspendables.com. We got lapel pins, t-shirts, and stickers, all sorts of cool stuff.
Cool.
And then I also do a Substack, like this shirt. Great. It's lastline.substack.com. Lastline.substack.com, which is honestly like my favorite thing to do is to do that Substack. And it's been a little hit or miss lately, but I've been trying to get back to it more recently. So, and there's some good stuff there. Yeah.
Just keep it up, keep it up, keep going, keep fighting. It's totally worth it. Not so many people have the ability to tell a story about true corruption from the inside out. And you're just getting started, you know, hang in there. God bless you and your wife and your amazing four daughters. It will all work out. You know, God doesn't hand us things like this to leave us down. Really, it's actually going to make, I think, you much stronger and much more powerful and a much bigger voice in the fight for freedom ahead. So thank you so much, sir. And I'll see you again.
Thanks, Mel.
Bye-bye. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel K Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. And it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week. Share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added Locals now. So on Locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkshowlive.com. The members at MelKShowLive.com is a community for you. That continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join Locals and join us on Sunday nights where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests. It's an incredible platform. It's just getting started. It's totally secure. And please join us Sundays at 7 p.m. Locals or members.themelkshowlive.com. I will see you there. This is so much fun and I'm so grateful. And now we have a totally secure community where we can all interact while we are fighting this battle for freedom and our future. See you there. Know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water, and the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today.